Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about her Best Ever You journal, her children's books, her book Percolate, and her Best Ever You show. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me on your show again. What a treat to come back. Thank you. I love all that you do and the support that you give us all to be here on your platform sharing. It's always a treat. As long as you sing for me, you're going to sing. Please.
I have a request. This show is about you. It's so cool having people like you who are so supportive of other people too, and I love the fact that you're living your music in a variety of ways. And as you know, Wayne Dyer always said, "Don't die with your music still in you," and that's why I call my show "Live Your Music." And it doesn't mean just music, although I do have a lot of people on that are musicians, but I also love having on authors and artists, and you know, just all sorts of people, as long as they're doing things that their heart has asked them to do. So in other words, heart's desires, that's what living your music is. And you do that so beautifully in so many different ways. So
thank you.
You're a perfect guest for my show. You know, you just fit right in with what I'm here for, is to talk to people like you. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that one of my favorite things is to help people align with their heart, their truths, and their energy.
That's really one of my
favorite things.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Me too. It's right up my alley. It's so funny because you live at the opposite side of the country, and yet because of Facebook and having you on my show before, being on your show before, et cetera, and reading your books, I feel like I know you so well, and it's so funny when I think about the fact that we haven't ever met in person. But
isn't that wild? There's so many people that you come across through social media. I wish we had like a little town where we all.
Yeah. One of the things I've been thinking about doing is doing some Zooms with the people that have been guests on my show, and also creating some Zoom coaching group.
Great idea.
As well, you know, because it's so cool. Now I've gotten so used to Zoom as well for doing Toastmasters and West Coast Songwriters. I'm going, whoa, this is really kind of cool, because even though it's not perfect, you're able to see each other and communicate with each other. And so, yeah, that's a really cool platform as well.
Well, 2020 threw us for a loop.
Oh, 2020 has been, oh my God, what a year. And it's been so interesting to watch the people who are actually doing well during it, and the people who are not doing well during it. I feel really badly for them. But it's just a lot of it's, you know, whether you're creative and whether you're focused on what you can do and what there is possible to do right now and that sort of thing. So how has it affected you? You're a mom of four kids. Are they still in college, any of them, or what's going on with them?
All of them. And, you know, it was like 1 minute my husband and I were like, okay, the kids are basically out of the house. And so we went to California a few times, and then we went to North Carolina for baseball because one of our sons plays college baseball. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we got home from that trip, it was like, Mom, you got to come get us. Dad, you got to come get us. And so my husband went one way and I went the other. And, you know, we retrieved kids from college to finish their school online. And I'm sure I am not the only person. And there are a lot of kids in college and a lot of kids home right now. A lot of kids moved back home, and some moved back out to go back to school in the fall. And so it's kind of all over the map. But, yeah, it big time affected us. But more so, I'm not really thinking about me so much that, but them, because, and I think about our youngest one who, basically had his freshman year of college completely I don't even know. I'm a writer, and I don't quite have the words for it yet. Still. Like,
so
well,
he was
I
a freshman during when they did the lockdown and sent everybody home, you mean?
Yeah. And I, you know, I was thinking back to my freshman year of college. I would be mad, and not some were mad. They were all pretty resilient and maneuvered. And I, you know, I think about our son Cam, who plays college baseball. I mean, that's a season gone. It's a fall baseball season right now gone. And so there's a lot of perspective happening for very young people. There's a lot to grasp with all the things they're going through, I think, anyway.
I can't even imagine. Our son Xander is 30, and he's been out of college since 2012 and working in, luckily, in the field that he studied, which is film production. So, you know, he's working on an animated show, so they're able to, they're just starting working on season 5, but they're bringing all these big computers to his apartment so that he can work from home. And
wow.
His roommate works with him also, so luckily they're able to do that. But I can't even imagine for all the parents and kids the college experiences, high school, and then grade school.
All of it.
You know, the little kids.
Oh.
You know,
with masks
just
on and everything, you know, there's a lot to explain. I mean, I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a woman with her toddlers there, and they had masks on, and they were probably barely 3. And I was thinking to my back, you know, just being a mom of 4, thinking, what would that be like? Boy, if I had to go to the grocery store right now and needed to have them with me, they'd be masked up. I mean, they'd be disinfected. They'd be, you know,
yeah.
Like, come here, let me Lysol you. I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, and then
some
the
of the things that people are going through,
and
so,
all that.
I
feel incredibly lucky that Xander went to school when he did, and it was safer. It was safe to go to school at the time, in all ways, you know. And yeah, I don't know. Things have got to change. We need to make a lot of changes in this country, and to focus more on, like you were saying, the heart and caring and unity
and
focusing on what we can do and creativity.
Yeah, I've started to kind of say making the best of 2020, and, you know, it's already almost October tomorrow, and how are you going to finish out this year? It's a really strong question to ask yourself and those around you. And if people are struggling around you, I think it's really important to reach out if you can and have the energy yourself to do so, to reach out and make sure other people are okay.
Yeah.
You know, your smile can brighten somebody's day. Your ears listening can help. Even if you don't solve everything in that moment, you're still helping. So I would just beg for people to pause even more a little bit and really look around you, look in your community online. I take a stroll through my Facebook feed in the morning, and I see who's in the hospital, or I see who's doing this or that. And we all trade off these moments. And those aren't cries necessarily for, like, oh, attention, like, look at me, look at me, look at me. They can be a message of think of me, pray for me, keep me in your thoughts. If, you know, those types of things, reach out to me, because those are messages of ache.
Yeah.
Mixed in with the people who are, you know, doing vacations and all these things. But, you know, I've had my share of heartache in Facebook with my father passing, for sure. That was brutal, and I still don't quite think I'm the same since.
No. How long has it been since he passed away?
He passed away almost 2 years now. October 19th will be the 2-year anniversary, and I mean, I stayed with my mom for such a long time after that happened. But boy, when you watch somebody take their last breath, it's really. Again, I'm a writer, and I'm finding the words for it now, so I won't go through everything, but it really has a profound impact on you, and it makes you really rethink, get even greater perspective, appreciate your moments, everything. It's really...
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I think... I know what you mean. My mom passed away in... actually October 25th of 2006, and it's been a long time. I can't even believe how long it's been now, because it's still, the last weekend I spent with her was actually September 29th through October 1st, and we had the most amazingly fun weekend, and she lived up in Shasta County, so I wasn't, it was a heart attack that got her, and it was like sudden. And my brother called me and said, "You got to come up here right now." You know, I'm like starting to drive up there, and I get up to Highway 37, and I get a phone call. He goes, "She's gone. You know, go home and be with Sander and Dudley." And oh my God, I went home and crying, and then just writing my morning pages, and realizing that it wouldn't do any good to go up and see her that way. That it was better to remember the way she was the last weekend that we were together, that was so absolutely perfect, that I never would have been able to have gone home if I had known that was going to be the last time I was going to spend with her in person, you know? So
yeah,
I can relate.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, because I think when we have these conversations about things that are have happened to us or that are currently happening to us, I think it's really important, because I'm not entirely positive we go through our moments really pausing to that level to think about what's really playing in the background of other people's lives when, for example, you're standing in the grocery store or whatever. And I've been thinking about T-shirts a lot, because I love T-shirts and happy sayings and so forth. And usually, it's kind of random, but, you know, usually, like, you'd see a T-shirt with the word love on it or joy or something positive and so forth. And, you know, we're not walking around with a T-shirt that says grieving.
Right.
Hang on. You know, I'm grieving. You know, we don't have those messages, you know, front and center necessarily. And so it can be really important to really think about how you're encountering people.
So true, because the thing is, you never know what is happening in their life, you know? I mean, they could have just lost somebody. And, it brings back chills and brings back a memory of a story Stephen Covey tells in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People about this man whose kids were just misbehaving on the train, and Stephen was getting, like, really annoyed with him and everything, and then finally, he said something to him about, "Can't you control your kids?" And he goes, "I'm sorry, but we just left the hospital and we just lost their mom."
Yeah, that kind of thing.
But, oh my God, it was a paradigm shift. He was realizing, oh my God, this poor man. So all of a sudden, he went from being angry with him to, you know, his heart just going out for him. And you know, we're all human. I mean, I like to try to post a lot of positive things to help balance out the other things that happen in the world. But, you know, it's not like those things don't happen in my life. I just don't write about them that much, you know. And so you're right. I mean, we don't go around posting it.
And I'm not saying tiptoe around everyone or anything like that, but just some kind of common mindfulness. And it kind of stems from this moment of after my father passed, I was in the grocery store back here in Maine as some time had passed and so forth, and I was still feeling lousy. And I was standing, I guess I was standing over the pears to grab, you know, pears for whatever, because I make smoothies and so forth. And I guess I was crying and I didn't know it. And this lady walked up to me and she said, "My love, which one of your parents has just passed away?" And it wasn't anybody I knew or anything. It was completely out of the blue. And she said, "Can I give you a hug?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'll take that hug."
Back then you could do that.
Pre-pandemic, yeah, back then you could do that, of course. Yeah. But I was, you know, just thinking about, you know, moments like that. And that mattered, but it was also the moment where I really stopped to think about just what other people are kind of going through. It dawned on me really profoundly in that moment. Not that it hadn't dawned on me before, but really profoundly in that moment to really slow down when I'm around other people.
Yeah, that's so true. My mom always said, as we were growing up, to spend time with people, enjoy the time that you get with them, because you never know how long you have. And she and her two siblings lost their parents when my mom was 14, her brother was a year or so older, and her sister was like a year and a half younger, I think. And they had left to go to a wedding, and and didn't come back. They went in a little plane that crashed, and it's like, you know, you just never know. But, I mean, the thing is that we all feel like we're going to be here forever, like our families are going to be here forever, our friends. And so it's so easy to get caught up in the moment and be irritated and not be being kind to each other. I think especially with a lot of times with the people you're closest to, because you feel like, oh, well, they'll understand. They'll forgive me. But it hurts. It hurts when people are that way. And so you're right. This whole thing about being more mindful is so important, to really slow down enough to really take a look at people and listen to them with your eyes and your ears and your heart.
Your heart, yeah. And and in your own moments, you know, make sure you're finding those moments and spending them wisely and using your time wisely and so forth, and filling them with gratitude or joy or whatever it is that, you know, resonates with you as a person, and do more of that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, lately I've been having to constantly be going over my gratitude and appreciation questions from my book. What am I grateful for? Who am I thankful for? What do I appreciate? You know, that sort of thing. What am I happy about? You know, 'cause, and lately it's harder to be, what am I excited about? That one started to even annoy me.
You know, me too. Oh, my gosh, me as well. You know, like, I love to go shoe shopping, and I'm so blocked right now from doing some of the things that I love to do. But, you know, I kind of feel guilty when I have those conversations, and I, you know, I talk about it. I'm like, I should not be thinking this right now. There's a lot going on right now, and this is not important. But you find it kind of creeping back in, your hints of what used to be your normal. And so I'm kind of like, you know, allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe write about it. You know, like today I really want to go shoe shopping and I know I can't. And here's what's really actually important and bothering me. I don't know. I don't even know how to write that or say it. But, you know, it happened the other day and I'm like, oh, I feel so bad that I'm thinking this. But darn it, I want to go shoe shopping. That's terrible.
You know, it's so funny that you should say shoe shopping, because, you know, for me, I don't know, maybe I'm lucky, but shoes don't fit me that well. You know, I mean, I really have a hard time finding ones that I really like that feel comfortable to me. And so I've gotten to the point where I'm not real crazy about going shoe shopping most of the time. And it's been a while since I've done it. But, yeah, I have this one pair of,
you know,
really
what I mean,
amazing
whatever
shoes
it is that you love to do.
Yeah.
Like our son's frustrated that I don't think that fitness clubs are the safest place to be right now. And so he's frustrated that he can't do his workouts the way he's used to doing them. You know, things like that. So, this period of time feels more like you're trying on jeans than anything happy.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I know what you mean. And I feel lucky because, you know, my husband and I are used to working together. We're used to living together, and we're not alone. You know, we're able to do our graphic design and photography work, my blog talk show, and et cetera, my coaching, I can do from home, and I'm used to doing it, and so I'm all set up for it. And so my heart goes out to the people that aren't used to being at home and that are alone, and or the ones that are with their family and they aren't used to being with their family. They're used to having some time apart, and then now all of a sudden they're together the whole time and trying to do schooling and get their work done.
I can't imagine being a mom and trying to teach chemistry right now from home, you know, homeschool chemistry or something like that. So there's a lot going on. And that's one of the reasons why we wrote this journal. Really.
Yeah, tell us about the journal, because I love the journal. I have the journal, and haven't been going through it week by week. I've been doing it day by day, so I'm going to be through it in no time. But I love it. I love the prompts. I love the ideas. So tell us about it, okay?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I met Chris Fuller randomly in a group on Facebook of several hundred thousand people to learn Zoom with her, just her. She's like, I need to learn Zoom, and I answered, and then we learned Zoom. And from there, it's like, Laurel and Hardy, sort of, only self-help. And, you know, it's definitely comedic silver and friendship gold. And we have put together this journal. It's called Best Ever You, 52-Week Journal to Your Bravest, Boldest You. And soon after we met, we started working. We're like, we got to do something together. And pandemic or no pandemic, we need to do something together. And so we were thinking, well, this would surely help people to talk about change and talk about their feelings and so forth with a guided journal. And so we structured it according to the 6 guiding principles for Best Ever You, the core, art, heart, I'm going to get them all, humanity, sport, and spirit of you. I think I got them all. And within that, we divided it up into questions week by week. So there's 52 prompts. Mm-hmm. And when people buy a journal on Amazon or Barnes & Noble now, they get access to us in a private Facebook group where we do free guidance every week. So we have a little chit-chat that goes with each prompt, and it's been delightful.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I hadn't noticed
Thank
that.
You.
I get so busy with things that I'm doing that I didn't even realize that you had the group to go with the book. But, yeah, I've just been – every morning with my coffee, I've been going through it and writing in it one of the – answering the questions. And at first I wasn't going, oh, I don't know, I don't want to do this. And then I was going, you know what, just let your spirit do it. Joy is my spirit. That's – what I call my
yeah.
inner being, my spirit. And just let joy do it, Margo. And I've been taking my pencil and just writing in what comes to me from my heart. And now I'm looking at it going, you know, this is going to be interesting to look back through it. I'm going to have to get more than one, though, because since I'm not doing it weekly, I'm going to go through them pretty fast.
We're hearing that we need weekly, so we may put another one out. And the instructions to get to the group are like, if you open the book, there's a title page. It's on the back of the title page with the group name to access. And we're right there, and we do fun like Zoom videos or we do group chats. And, you know, we've only done 3 of them so far. But
mm-hmm.
they've proved really useful, and they're great places to just have that raw, honest conversation. It is a group that it's happy, it's worry, it's sad, it's funny, it's everything all in one to so that we get to know each other. I suspect a year from now it'll be a really cool community to have been in.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Oh boy. Who knows what's going to be happening a year from now. But, you know, the thing is that we can't
Good point.
Let the uncertainty of not knowing keep us from living life now. Because the other thing is, as you know, now is the only time we're guaranteed. We don't, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, the moment you're in.
Yeah, the moment we're in. And it's so easy to get distracted because of all the things that other people want us to do and the social media, the phones, the emails, the text messages, the television or whatever, you know, I mean, it just...
I have a name for that. That's my pretzel theory. That's my pretzel theory, where you've morphed
pretzel
yourself
theory.
Into, like, some funky shape of a pretzel for, like, everybody else to try and, you know, please everybody and accommodate everybody's everything. I don't know. I've been just thinking a lot. I have no idea why, and it's so super random, but, you know, I'm metaphorically inclined. And so my first book was coffee, everything, and I think a lot about pretzels and just, you know, people are so twisted up and in knots over pleasing other people and trying to do so much that I think it's important to unwind.
Oh, I totally agree, and whew, yeah, I grew up being more of a people pleaser and that sort of thing, and thinking that everybody knew everything more than I did, and everybody else knew what was right for me.
and
it wasn't until our son was a little guy, you know, when he was around 3, I think it was, something like that, that I started realizing, oh my gosh, I don't even know what matters most to me. I have to figure out what matters most to me, and so that's really, my book is a lot about figuring out what really matters to you and not just to everybody else.
Yeah.
So yeah but
exactly,
it's
or you can end up twisted in knots.
Yeah, yeah. But I also have to say I love your book Percolate too, and it's you use such a good sense of humor, and I like the way that it has the coffee cup on the cover. I've got your books here on my desk, and it says like steam coming out of the coffee cup, courage, awaken, acceptance, let your best self filter through, purpose, authentic, compassion. Boy, do we need that, and love.
Yeah. I love Hay House for allowing me to be an author with them and really supporting me through learning how to really become an author. I learned how to become an author with that book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sharp learning curve because, you know, writing is one thing and marketing is something else. And learning how to talk about what you've written intelligently so that other people might, you know, benefit from your from what you're saying, and
right.
I've learned to speak about that book a little bit better in terms of change. Really, what's there for people who don't like metaphors are the 9 points of change, and really, Best Ever You was founded on 10 of them, and 9 of them are in there, and they're metaphored up pretty good, but really. For someone who picks up that book, what they're learning about is how to make a change or how to deal with an unforeseen circumstances. And the book talks about, you know, my food allergies, you know, nearly losing my life a few times from food allergic reactions because I have life-threatening food allergies. And
mm-hmm.
it really talks a lot about my husband, my father,
mm-hmm.
as a stroke survivor, and we talk about moments that he had where I always want to tell the alphabet story from that book. Do you want me to tell that one? I don't know if I ever shared that one with you before, but in the book, the ABCs I might have, but for anybody listening, maybe they might want to hear it. Just I have a shortened version.
Hey, you know, it's a long time since I've had you on the show last, so go for it. You know,
tell us
about the ABCs.
Yeah, you know, here's a lesson in ABCs, and it might be right for this time actually, because so my dad was a stroke survivor, and what he went through was decently impossible for most people to survive, and we still don't know quite how he did it and survived all the way to 2018. But there was a moment where he was in rehab and they were wheeling him down to a speech therapy session, and we got in there, my mom and I, and the nurse said to us, now look, you know, when people are in this situation, most people don't say much, so be prepared. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh no. And it's an ABC lesson. She says A, and he says what comes to mind. So she said A, and he said aardvark. And we're like looking at each other like, he just said aardvark. Okay, you know, kind of thing. But then, I have no idea still why he said it, and he doesn't really remember saying that too much, but he said benevolence, courage, determination, excellence. F was a very choice swear word, which I changed to faith so that, you know, the book would be clean. But he rattled through this entire list of positive words where we thought he was just not even really quite capable. And that was a moment where he really decided he was going to live and get strong, and I also decided I was going to stop feeling so sorry for myself with having life-threatening food allergies. And that's about the moment where you assess the situation and go on from there.
Wow.
And that's the first step in changing. Whether it's something
yeah.
you want to change, whether it's your weight or you're dealing with something, you really assess everything and think about it, because that moment is you're going one way or another with that moment.
Oh, I know. There's so many choices that we make, and a lot of them are unconscious. And I've been trying to remind myself more and more to make conscious choices, to actually be in the moment like we were talking about earlier, and listen to how you feel about the choices while you're making them, and also after, because you know then they're a really good learning experience as well. As, oh, no, don't want to do that again, or, yeah, that was great. That really made me feel good.
Yeah. So awareness is annoying in ways, because once you learn self-love and self-worth and accountability and taking responsibility for yourself, could get annoying when you just want to forget about all of it and have some fun. And so it percolates a pretty decent lesson in, as a whole, in self-love and self-worth and taking
mm-hmm.
responsibility with values, goals, beliefs, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
along with the 9 points of change. So, yeah, that's a book that keeps percolating. It got a new cover. It got a new look. Not a new cover as far as the graphic on it, but a new glossy look to it. And,
I know. I like the glossy cover. I have
you.
The original one, and I like this one even better. So, yeah, this newer one.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not the most best-selling Hay House author they've ever had or anything like that, but it sure makes me proud to have that book. And see people still commenting from around the world with it. You know, it's like a tiny little book that can change your life, and it keeps percolating. It baffles people why it keeps going, and it does. It seems to just sort of weave through people's hands, and I love that. That makes me so happy. I'd rather have that than, you know, having, you know, bought a billion copies of my own book and warehoused them and claimed I was, you know, I sold a million copies of it, you know, kind of thing. And so it's real and it's percolating on its own.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love my lattes that I make in the morning. I make them with one of those little foamer things that have the batteries
in
it. You know, I take a little bit of hot milk I heat it up in the microwave, foam it with that, and then put it in this tall, beautiful latte cup that my friend Cara Brown, who's an amazing artist, creates these absolutely awesome watercolors of flowers and things like that. And so it's
beautiful.
In this beautiful, beautiful latte mug. That is just, it's part of what I love getting up in the morning and having that and writing my morning pages. But being a coffee person, my point is, being a coffee person especially, I think, helped me really love the idea of percolate and of the making the coffee and filtering it and that sort of thing, you know. It's just,
yeah, it's you get to think about infinite possibilities with that book. It's kind of fun. And I love the description of you and your coffee with the book and thinking and your journals and all of it. And that's exactly what we hope people do with that anytime during the day. Because some people don't like that routine in the morning. Some people love to sit in a coffee shop with the journal in the afternoon
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I'm kind of a creature of the real early morning. Like, I love to get up ahead of everybody and sit and write.
Me too.
Not so energetic around 9-10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
really
me. I'm exactly the same. I'm a lark and my husband's an owl. And
yeah.
It works out pretty well though, because that way we each have some time to ourselves. You know, so.
Yeah, definitely. That's funny.
But
I didn't
think I was a morning person until our son was born. So I don't know if that had anything to do with you, but it's like I realized when I was feeding him when he was a little baby, I was realizing how peaceful it was early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I started realizing that was the only time I could get up and really hear my own thoughts and feel my own feelings. And you know, so, it was worth it to me to get up earlier to do that.
Yeah, I've always been a pretty early. I'm certain I annoyed my parents. Absolutely positive, especially during the perm phase of high school, where you had to wash your hair in the morning and let the perm dry.
Oh,
and you know, that's hours in advance of school even beginning. So I've always gotten up pretty early. So I was letting my perm dry, you know, from the shower in the morning, I would write and journal and doodle. I'm quite a doodle bug.
Well, you know, I also wanted to talk to you about these two children's books that you sent, too, the Self-Confidence Sandy and A Lesson for Every Child Learning About Food Allergies. I love the illustrations in it. And the illustrator Sally Huss, is that how you say her last name?
It is. She's Sally Huss is quite something amazing. And I had the opportunity to collaborate with her. I was introduced to her by a mutual friend, Joe Spurley, who is a mentor to our son who plays college baseball. And he mm-hmm. had come across her and said, you guys need to know each other. Good luck in all you do. It ought to be interesting. And these are two of the projects that we've worked on so far. The first one was a lesson for every child learning about food allergies. I felt really strongly like the teachers needed a classroom tool and the kids needed a tool for the classroom for talking about food allergies. And so that's the story of Jack. And he talks to the class about his food allergies and what it all means. And they're quite compassionate toward him and accepting and loving versus bullying. And Sally is just absolutely incredible to collaborate with. She's over 80. Her website is sallyhuss.com. And my books, I have two with her. She has over 100 children's books that she's written. And they're all with purpose. They're all Best Ever You approved. They're great for kindergarten, preschool, first grade, maybe second grade, they're just so lovely. And I have read her books to our kids without knowing her before.
Wow,
so,
that is a great
I love Sally
story.
Huss. Yeah, she's she's in the Occidental Hall of Fame for tennis, and she's a former Wimbledon finalist as well. So in addition to, you know, being a great artist, she's just so world-class. And one moment on the phone with her, and you see how just incredible she is. And, just amazing. And self, do you want me to keep going, or should we pause for a second, because Self-Confident Sandy compliments one of her other books.
What was that?
So Self-Confident Sandy compliments one of her other books called Positive Heat.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that she had this self-confidence book written geared toward boys called Positive Pete. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at her collection of what she had done, and I was, Sally, can we do one about confidence for girls? And so that is Self-Confident Sandy. And both books have been on the Amazon bestseller list in various categories for months now. They came out in like March and April, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
much fun.
So she also writes books as well as illustrates them then for her books?
Yeah, she does the whole thing. Yeah, I took a with credit on those. And kind of helped oversee the project and things like that. And the food allergy book, A Lesson for Every Child, just came out in hardback a few days ago. Beautiful hardback book. Yeah, and we hope, our goal with that book is to raise awareness for food allergies. We hope that that book lands in every classroom, doctor's offices, conferences with food allergies once those resume. Wherever that book needs to live, we hope it does, because it's a very useful tool. And it's endorsed by all the major food allergy organizations.
That's awesome. You know, our son, Xander, he's got a nut allergy. And luckily
this would have been perfect for him in kindergarten.
Yeah, I know. It would have been perfect for him when he was growing up. We discovered it,
I think,
when he was in grade school. I'm not sure exactly when we did, but luckily it has never been life-threatening. And
it's weird because
he's able to eat macadamia nuts, just not walnuts and other kinds of nuts. But he has to be really careful with when things have nuts in them. You know, it starts making him not be able to breathe and get sick. And so, he's very
aware
of it.
Yeah, make carry the epinephrine and so forth, and we'll keep that medic alert on. I have nut, tree nut, peanut, fish, and shellfish, life-threatening to all of them, anaphylaxis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got some, like, hay fever and things like that, and I, at one time supposedly a milk allergy, although I seem to have outgrown that, so I can have my lattes again.
These are more addresses the life-threatening types of food allergies that kids have. And we lose children. My co-founder of foodallergyzone.com lost his son to a peanut flour reaction. There was peanut flour in the pudding. They were on vacation, and he ate food off a buffet. And so that it's real. It's real for people. So we're trying to help kids stay alive and thrive with food allergies. That's our mission over at foodallergyzone.com.
Oh, that is so fantastic.
Oh,
wow. I just...
A lot of work.
You
feel like you can't get to people fast enough sometimes. We work really hard.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, if anybody listening knows somebody has a food allergy, especially kids that could have food allergies, let's get that book to them. You know, order that book. They can get it on Amazon, you said, and also Barnes & Noble, I think.
Yeah, that one is available pretty globally. It's selling in different countries. So is the journal. So if somebody's listening from a different continent or wherever, there's links up all over Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and so forth to grab all of the books.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. We've only got 4 minutes left.
Wow.
And I'd like to ask you, what would you like to leave our listeners with at this point?
Oh, boy, that's a big question. I think I'd just love to leave everybody with a little bit of smiles and love and positive energy. And if you're not feeling that right now, please come to our group conversations with Elizabeth and Chris on Facebook. Maybe we could put a link up to that. Because if you're not feeling so great right now, we're a great group that just embraces everybody and loves everybody. And you can visit besteveryou.com. We have so much information there. Blogs, and I mean, we work really hard to make sure that when you land on that website, you know you can trust it, and that it's positive and useful information that will complement your life. So not wasting your time. Basically, I never want to do anything where I feel like I'm wasting people's time.
Me either. I don't either. Yeah.
And we'd love to share our moments with each other. So
And
we welcome everybody.
Well, also they can also listen to your Best Ever You show too. We didn't even get around to talking about that, but that's one of the ways I first knew about you was your Best Ever You show on Blog Talk Radio. So
yeah,
just
like you here, we have a show, and it's called the Best Ever You show, and it has I think about 525 episodes now, if you can believe that. It's been coming along for a really long time as people are just now starting to get into podcasting. It's something that we've been doing for years now. And so it's interesting to see it get popular when you've been doing something for so long. So it's got 500 and some shows. And I love to create things that don't feel like a waste of time. When you're asking somebody to give you an hour of their time to listen to what you have to say, it's very important to me that those words be useful. And so those guests are all, in one way or another, you can go through the show, just like yours, and find really useful information in guests.
There's
a lot of hours of podcasting there. Before it was called podcasting, I think. Oh, so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You know.
Well, I just have to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the ways that you are living your music. And I want to remind everyone out there to think about what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Hopefully get out there and start doing some of it and join in groups that can help you get over your fears, and like this one for the Best Ever You that Elizabeth's talking about, and get that journal. It's really a cool journal. I think that you're going to really like it. So please share the show with your friends and your family, and everyone out there, live your music in whatever ways your heart says to do it. Thank you, Elizabeth, for all that you do, and thank you for being on my show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And bye for now, everyone.